to see them. Amen. Hold them up in the air. Hold them up high. I mean, let's be happy that we got a Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. This is my Bible. It's the Word of God.
It's true.
Eternally. It is authoritative for my life. The best of my ability. I want to learn it. Live it. Love it. Amen. Father, I pray that you touch the message this morning. I pray you use your word. And I pray that you bless these people through your word. And help us today. We need you. God, I need you. I need you to fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. And help me to preach what you put in my heart. And I pray you'd help me to be a blessing. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter 21. If you can't find it, go to the maps in the back. Turn back to the left just a couple of pages. You'll find the end of Revelation. Revelation 21. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. When you get your place, say amen.
Amen.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof.
Amen.
And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Amen. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. There's a place. There is a place. We've sung about it. We've heard about it. We've preached about it. We've sometime even maybe dreamed about it. But there is a place. In fact, we could say there is a place beyond the blue. We call it heaven. It's also referred to here in the Scriptures as the New Jerusalem. Many times when we speak of heaven, what we're really describing is the New Jerusalem. It's what we know as the third heaven. It is the abode of God. The New Testament shows us that God lives in heaven. That is the third heaven. Jesus prayed, and he taught us to pray in this manner. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven. When Solomon stood before the Lord, he prayed and said, Thou which abidest in heaven. And we know that God is in heaven. That is our Father. This place we call heaven is the eternal destination that is promised to those of us who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful place. We've talked about it and read about it, heard about it and sung about it. This place called heaven. Jesus said there was many mansions there. But I'm saddened this morning. I'm saddened by the fact that many times it seems that the church has lost their longing for this wonderful place. Used to sing a lot of songs about it. How we're homesick for heaven and how I'm longing for heaven and how heaven will surely be worth it all. It seems as if those kind of songs are fading off the scene. This is just what heaven means to me. Songs that have been written down through the years. Look what's waiting for me. But I'm saddened because it seems as if the church, I'm talking about saved folk, no longer are longing, no longer are hungering, no longer desire this wonderful place. Seems as if we've become satisfied. It seems as if we've even become distracted by this world in which we live. I'm talking about this sinful world in which we live. I'm talking about this world and its temporary pleasures. It seems as if we're so satisfied that if we can have a nice home and a nice automobile, our bills are paid, we have money to go on vacation, we can have a good time here. Why do I need heaven? And I want to remind you that the promise of heaven is a wonderful promise, but it's not a temporary promise. It's an eternal resting place. It is the eternal abode of those that are saved. Amen. And one day, listen, as much as I like to go on vacation, one day when I die, I do not want to die and go to Disney World. One day when I die, I do not want to die and go to Gatlinburg. Or I do not want to die and go to Alaska. Can I tell you, I do not want to die and go to Hawaii.
I want to die, and when I die, I want to go to the place that Jesus promised me. I want to go to the place that He called His Father's house. I want to go to the New Jerusalem. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Excuse me if I just park right here and say, every once in a while, Brother Eric, as I go through this dreary world, and as I see the sinful state we're living in, and if I see all the things of the world passing away, because that's what happens to everything that's in the world, according to 1 John chapter number 2, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. As I see this world going away, as I see the things of this world deteriorating, as I feel the effects of sin on this body, and I see that this physical body breaking down every day, every once in a while, I just sit down and I start thinking about home. And every once in a while, pardon me now, I just get a little homesick and I just want to go to heaven. I want to remind you this morning, heaven is a place not to be desired. It's a place that ought to be desired. Heaven's not a place I dread to go to. Heaven's a place I'm looking forward to going to. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 1, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, nevertheless, he said, he's willing to stay. What he said over in Philippians 1, he said, I'm willing to stay if it's better for you. He said, but I have a desire to go be with Christ. He said, that's far better. Hey, listen, I don't care about your best day here. Think about the best day, thing you ever had, the best house you've ever lived in, the best vacation destination you've ever been to. No matter how good you can get here, heaven's far better. Hey, listen, there's a hell to shun, but there is a heaven to gain. Listen, we just need a reminder that, we're not living for this world. Hey, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And if you're a saint, you're a child of God, our treasures, they are to be laid up beyond the blue. Don't get too used to this world. Don't drive your stakes too deep. Don't get caught up. Hey, listen, everything you're living for right now, one day is going to burn up. Get a grip on that. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Peter talked about how the world, everything here, the heaven and the earth, it's going to burn up. It's going to be melted with fervent heat. Preacher, I'm working hard. I'm trying to buy this. I want to do this. One of these days, it's going to burn up. What are you doing for heaven? Now listen, you don't earn your way into heaven. Jesus has already earned that. By faith, receive heaven. When you got saved. It's a promise. It's a wonderful promise. Seems as if in our day, the only time somebody talks about heaven is when somebody dies. But I want you to know that as a child of God, as a Christian, we ought to be living with heaven in view. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, if you're saved, hey, live with heaven in view. Live with heaven on your mind. We think about places we may want to go. Everybody normally thinks about places that they want to go on vacation or where they'd like to go and visit. But, you know, usually when we think about a place we'd like to go, everybody normally, when they're going to decide where they'd like to go, one of the things that they have to know is, what does that place have? What do they have there? You ever sit down and think about where am I going to go on vacation? So you pull up Google and you'll Google that destination. You say, what do they have there? What kind of hotels do they have? Do they have swimming pools? Do they have places to eat? Is anybody? What do they have? I want to know, what kind of amusements do they have? The ladies want to know, where do they have to shop? How many shoe stores do they have? Like you need more than a pair on your feet. But you stop and think about it. Everybody wants to know, before I'm going to go on vacation, what do they have there? I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I can afford to go on vacation, I like personally to go to Disney World. I think everything's there. If I can get a good deal, I'll go. Brother Robbie's going to help me pay for it. But before I go, I look and I get on there and I look and I see, what do they have? What have they changed? What's there? What's going to be there when I get there? And depending on what's there, it helps me decide on whether I want to go there or not. So, with that in mind, let's think about heaven just for a moment. We can talk about what heaven has materially. What's the city made out of? What is there? Well, the city, as we've read, if we understand the measurements, it's estimated that the city is somewhere around 1,400 to 1,500 miles square. Height, length, breadth. Every way you measure it, 1,400 to 1,500 miles square. If you're in your mind trying to figure out how big that is, it's estimated that the New Jerusalem would reach from New York City to Denver, Colorado, and from Canada all the way to Florida. And with the different layers that are layered there in the city, it is estimated that 20 billion people could live there spaciously. That's plenty of room. The walls, think about this. The Bible said that the walls, they're made of jasper. They're about 216 feet high. There's 12 gates and the gates of the city. Listen, each gate is a solid pearl. That had to have been a big oyster, didn't it? The foundation of the city, what the walls are sitting on, the foundation of the city, there's 12 layers, and every 12 layers is made up of precious gems. The street, the Bible said the city is pure gold, and then the street is pure gold, as it were transparent glass. In other words, I believe it says it's so transparent, probably you can see through it, like it's pure gold. No impurities in the city. I mean, most of you, some of you still wear gold. Gold's looked at as jewelry. It's looked at as a precious metal. They make the street out of it in heaven. There's a river there. It's the river of life. The river there is as clear as crystal. I've always told my wife I'd like to go one of these days. I'd like to go to one of these places where you look in the shore, around the shore of the ocean, and it's like so clear you can look down through it and see the fish, all those tropical fish. I'd like to see that one day. But one day, if I don't ever get to go there, I'm going to heaven and there's a river there that's so crystal clear. The river of life. And then he says there's a tree there, the tree of life. And this tree is constantly bearing 12 fruits that guarantee the healing of the nations. I'm just thinking a little bit about what's there. It's no wonder when you think about it, when you read about it, it's no wonder that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. A cabin on the backside of glory just wouldn't fit in, would it? When you think about a city that's made out of gold, foundations of precious gems, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, street of gold, why would you want a log cabin? That's going to be like a sore thumb. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. What a wonderful place. We can talk about who's going to be there. Who's going to be in heaven? Who's going to be there? Well, to start out with, God the Father is going to be there. You can read about that in Revelation 4 and 5, John 14, in my Father's house. The Son's going to be there, Revelation 4 and 5. In Revelation 19, we see where Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit's there, Revelation 14, 13, Revelation 22, 17. He said the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit's there. The holy angels are there. We've read about them. Revelation 5, Revelation 7, Hebrews 12, 22. This would include the seraphims, the cherubims. It would include Gabriel. It would include Michael, the archangel. The angels are there. 24 elders are there. Revelation 4, John saw 4 and 20 elders. I believe those elders are representative of the church. The church will be there. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. Revelation 19, Revelation 21, Revelation 22. The church, the bride of Christ will be there. The redeemed from all the ages will be there. Revelation 5, they're around the throne and they're singing a song about being redeemed. All the redeemed will be there. Heaven is the land of life. Heaven is the land of living. Heaven is the Father's house. The New Jerusalem we refer to as heaven. It will be our eternal blessed home. Heaven's a place to be desired. Many times, we've watched so many movies, we've seen so many fantasy stories, that when we think about heaven, when we read about heaven, we think, oh, it's just like, no, listen, the best thing you could describe, the best movie of the most fanciest, nicest place, it doesn't compare to what heaven's going to be. Get it in your mind, the city is gold and the and the street is pure gold. Man, I think about the radiance of the brightness of the glory of God as it shines through the city, and how bright it will be, and the sparkling of the gems and the pearls and the jasper walls. What a beautiful place it will be materially. What a wonderful... Listen, you couldn't find a better group of people to live around. Everybody, when they move to a new house, they want to, most time they get on the internet or they go down to the county building somewhere, and they want to know, what's the neighborhood like? Who lives here? Well, there's no pedophiles there. No burglars around. Everybody's there that's saved and loves Jesus and it has to do with God. You couldn't find a better group of people to be around. However, listen, this place is not only to be desired, but this place is distinct. It's distinct, listen, not only for what it has. We've talked about the things that are there, the materials and the people that are there. But I want to say this. This is a place that is distinct, not only because of what is there, but what is not there. What is not there. And that's what I want to preach just for a couple minutes about, is what is missing in heaven. What is missing in heaven? Stop and think about it. Heaven, you say, preacher, it's a wonderful place. Everything I can think of, how beautiful it is, and the people that are there. What's missing? If I could call your attention down to chapter 21, verse number 4, I just want to, just for a couple minutes, hey, listen, I want to share some things that won't be there. In verse number 4, there'll be no death there. Look at it in verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. That is no more parting. There'll be no more separation. There'll be no more graves to dig. There'll be no more goodbyes to say. One of the saddest things in life is to go down to the graveside and to see the child look at the grave and they're saying goodbye to mom or to dad, or to see the mom even to say goodbye to the child. Are you listening? Hey, listen, I'm telling you, one day when we get to this place called heaven, hey, listen, when we enter that eternal abode of the New Jerusalem, there'll be no more graves. There'll be no backhoes sitting on the side of the field waiting for the people so they can dig it. Hey, I'm telling you, there'll be no more goodbyes. There'll be no more parting. There'll be no more separation. There's no death there. No death. No death. Get it in your mind, no death. It's the land of life. It's the land of living. No death there. There'll be no more sorrow there. Look there in verse number 4. He said, neither sorrow. What is sorrow? Sorrow is sadness and regret. It is mourning or grief. It is the distress that is caused by the loss and the affliction and the disappointment. Many times we face sorrows because of disappointments or griefs in our life. And we have our soul. It's like our soul is broken. It's like our heart is heavy and we're sorrowful. I got news for you. There'll be no sorrow in heaven. There'll be nothing to be sorrowful. There'll be no griefs there. There'll be no sad goodbyes. There'll be no regrets. There'll be no more grief and disappointments. There'll be no crying. Look there. Neither crying nor crying. What is crying? That crying, the word cry has the idea of an outcry, of clamor, crying out. Listen. We will never again need to cry. What is crying? Crying is a way that we release when we're sorrowful and when we're broken and when we're hurting. Tears are a way that God has given us to not only express, but to relieve ourselves. And God has given us these. But listen, when we get to heaven, there'll be nothing to cry about. Matter of fact, the first part of that verse said that God shall wipe away all tears. I believe that's after the great white throne judgment. And God's going to wipe all tears away. And He said the things that bring us tears are not going to be found in this place called heaven. The death, the disappointments, the discouragements. Those things have been not there. Hey, look, He doesn't stop there. Doesn't it sound like a wonderful place so far? And then watch this. And He said, neither shall there be any more pain. Wow, what a blessing. No more pain there, Brother Davis. No more pain. Watch this. Pain, that's great trouble and intense desire or anguish, the toil. Hey, listen, it could be pain from disease. These bodies break down. Do we not have pains? Can I get a witness? We have pain from disease and our bodies breaking down. Listen, we have pain sometimes from disappointments in life. Maybe a child, maybe a loved one, maybe a church member, maybe a preacher or something that goes on in your life. Somebody disappoints you and it brings anguish and pain into your life. Maybe a boss, I don't know. Surely it wouldn't be your wife. We have pain from disease, pain from disappointment, pain from disasters. When you watch the news and you see the storms and you see the people killed, it seems like needlessly. And you see massacres and you see the things that we see, it seems like almost on a daily basis now. Does it not hurt to watch and to see what looks like pointless death? Does it not hurt to see little children and the way that they're starving to death in certain parts of the country? Does it not hurt when you stop and think about that there are little children being used as slaves? Does it? Hey, listen, the disasters of this world causes us pain. If you think it causes you pain to see it, could you imagine living through it? Well, one day there'll be no more pain because of the disasters. One day there'll be no more pain because of discouragement. How many's ever been discouraged in life? Maybe you worked for something and you didn't get it. Or maybe, listen, you was working at a job and you had something pulled out from under your feet. Maybe you had high hopes for your child and they discouraged you. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, listen to me. Hey, one day there'll be no more discouragements. One day there'll be no more defeats. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, there'll be no more pain. No more, listen, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. I like that. He said, the former things are passed away. He that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. No more. No more. And that no wonder, he said, I'm going to wipe the tears away and there'll be no more crying. No more crying because there's no more need to cry. Listen, if you don't have death and you don't have sorrow and you don't have pain, hey, listen, what would you cry about? But watch this, that's not all. Look at chapter 21, verse number 22. Look down at the verse number 22. And it says, he said, I saw no temple there. No temple. Why? Why is there no temple? Where's the temple? The temple's the place to worship. The temple's the place where the people gather. And John said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. See, now, listen, in the Old Testament, God gave the instructions to the tabernacle and the temple. And the Old Testament saints would arrange that, and the priest would be there, and God's presence would dwell in his Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies. And then in the New Testament, we don't go to the tabernacle per se or the Holy of the Holies. We are the temple, and our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me? And God now dwells individually in the hearts of the believers and through His church. But listen, He said when He got to heaven, He said, I saw no temple, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple. In other words, now He dwells with us and in us, but there we're going to dwell with and in Him. He's the temple. Watch this. Look at the next verse. He said there'll be no need of the sun or the moon. Watch this. Amazing, amazing. God has given us the sun and the moon for the light and for the sea. Watch verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, I want you to notice now, he said the glory of God and the Lamb is the light. Notice now, he does not say that there will be no sun. He said there's no need of the sun. He's already promised Israel that they're going to be a nation as long as the sun shines. As long as there's a sun. Hey, what are you saying, friend? I'm saying, listen to me. Somebody, you get real confused. The Bible never says the sun's going to be done away with. It says there'll be no need of the sun. What are you saying, preacher? Here's what I believe he's teaching us. He's teaching us that, listen, that the S-O-N sun is going to be so bright. Hey, listen, that the glory of the Lord Jesus, the S-O-N, is going to outshine the S-U-N. You think about how bright the SU in the sun is. And you think about it, it's so bright you can't look at it. And they tell me if you get too close to it, you're going to burn up. And listen, I'm just telling you, listen, as bright as the SUN is, hey, listen, when we get to glory, hey, the SON is going to shine so bright that you don't even need the SUN. Don't get excited or nothing. Verse 5 of chapter 22, he said, and there shall be no night there. Wait a minute, you don't need the sun, you don't need the moon. There's no night there. You know, when we think about night, night times, that's really night times when a lot of people get real discouraged. Night time, it's like the day's ending and you stop and think about all. There'll be no night there. And watch this, and no need of candle. Neither the light of the sun. So there's no night, and if there's no night, you definitely don't need a candle. You don't need the light of the sun. Why? He said, for the Lord giveth them light. The Lord God giveth them light. He is the light. He's going to outshine them all. Watch this. I like this. Verse number 4, he said, verse 3, there shall be no more curse. There should be no more curse. There should be no more curse. You know your Bible. You know all the way back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Because they disobeyed God, what happened? God put a curse. He put a curse on them. He put a curse on the serpent. And He put a curse on creation. Are you listening? And ever since that time, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8 that the whole creation groaneth. And the whole creation is looking forward to this day. The whole creation is groaning and looking forward to the time when creation will be redeemed. There's a curse on the land. There's a curse. There's a reason why you have to work the way you do. And work is so toilsome and hard. There's a reason why ladies go through the pains they go through. Hey, and it's called sin. There's a reason why you're going to die. There's a reason why you have to go to the grave. There's a reason for the pain. There's a reason for the crying. There's a reason for the sorrow. There's a reason for all these things. It's called S-I-N. S-I-N. And the curse that sin brought. But listen, when we get to the New Jerusalem, there'll be no more curse. There'll be no more curse because sin will have been dealt with and there'll be no more sin. Hey, listen, are you listening to me? Sin will not be there. Satan will not be there. Sinners will not be there. Sorrow will not be there. Be no more curse. In heaven, the curse is going to be done away with. No wonder the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter number 11, we talk about Abraham, I was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He said, but now they desire a better country. A better country. That is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And can I say, like the old songwriter said years ago, oh, what a city He's gone to prepare. Oh, what a city. I'm talking about heaven this morning. I hope it encourages you. I hope it'll help you. I hope it will, listen, get your mind on not only on this world, but on the things that God has promised for you and I. Jesus said He's gone to prepare this place for us. Some people say He's still working on it. I don't know. He created the whole earth and the heavens and the earth in 6 days. But I want you to notice one more thing. There's one more thing that's not going to be there. There's one more thing I want you to see. We can talk about heaven, but I want to say this. You need to know. Look at verse 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. One more thing that won't be there. There will be no unsaved person there.
Can I help you this morning? If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven because mom and daddy are. You're not going to heaven because your grandma and your pawpaw are going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you're a member of a Baptist church. You're not going to heaven because you're a Southerner. Or you're not going to heaven because you're an American. You're not going to heaven for any other reason than that you believe and you receive what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. And according to the Word of God, if you're not saved, you will never enter and you will never see heaven. Can I say this this morning? If you're lost, the lost will be eternally excluded and they will be cast in the lake of fire. I say eternally excluded. There'll be no second chances. There'll be no purgatories. There'll be no buying your way out, penance. When you close your eyes in death, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You'll either spend eternity in the New Jerusalem or you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. There'll be no death. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no crying. There'll be no pain. There'll be no temple. Hey, there'll be no need of the sun or moon. There'll be no night. There'll be no need of the candle or the sunlight. There'll be no curse, but there'll be no lost people either. You won't get to heaven by accident. You won't sneak in on somebody's coattail. Heaven is a place for those that are redeemed. Heaven is a place for only those that have trusted Jesus Christ. Heaven's going to be a place of singing. Heaven's going to be a place of shouting and praising God. Heaven will be a place of serving God. Heaven's going to be a place of staying. No more goodbye. But let me say this. Heaven is going to be a place for only the saved. S-A-V-E-D. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you ready to go? If you're not, I will say this. If you're not, you can be. If you're not, you don't have to leave this room today lost. You don't have to leave here today and wonder, I wonder if I'm going to go to heaven. I wonder if I'll spend eternity there in that wonderful place. Listen, with all those wonderful people, I'll tell you this, you can know that when you leave here today. You don't have to hope so, think so, guess so. You can know so. He said in chapter 22, verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. You say, I don't know if He wants me to be saved. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Are you listening? And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's your invitation. God's last invitation. He said, come. Come. Take of the water of life freely. Who can come? Are you thirsty? You can have a drink of water. Hey, listen. Are you a whosoever will? If you will come, He will save you. He will satisfy your soul's longing thirst. Freely. He says, come. Come. Somebody said they got saved. When they got saved, they said they got saved because they didn't want to go to hell. And somebody said, that's not a good reason. He said, it ain't a bad one. And let me say this. You may think I'm wrong. You may not get saved just to go to heaven, but that ain't a bad reason. It's a place that God has prepared. But He's prepared it for prepared people. And the question this morning is, are you prepared? Are you prepared for this place that we call heaven? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're not trusted in your family or your church membership? Do you know that there's been a time and there's been a place that you personally have by faith repented of your sins, trusted Jesus Christ in the finished work of Calvary for your salvation to guarantee you that one day you'll be in heaven for eternity? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're standing all across the auditorium. And I invite you, if you're not saved, to get that matter settled. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the message. Use it according to your will. God, save souls that need to be saved. Encourage Christians. God, help us in Jesus' name. Have your will and way. Everything is said. Amen. Amen. Several people's already come to the altar.